Hello and welcome. I'm Sofiko and this is Creative Minds Speaking, a podcast where I have conversations with creative industry professionals, bringing into the spotlight those incredible people who are behind the scenes of art and entertainment is the main goal of this podcast.
On today's episode of the podcast, I'm going to chat with Emma Naveau. She's a label coordinator and business developer at God Knows Music Group. She's also co-founder, head of A&R, PR and events at Kumo Collective. Hi, Emma. Super happy to have you. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Of course. Very excited.
Yes, I'm super happy to chat with you today. I feel like you have interesting and unique experience. So please, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
For sure. I'll try to make it as interesting and special as you introduced me. But I grew up in Paris, France. And then right after high school, I moved out to go do a bachelor's degree in London. So did 3 years there. And then right after graduating, when COVID started to kind of take the whole world. So the plan initially was to start to work after a bachelor's, like normal people do, rather than jumping into more and more studies, especially when not knowing exactly what I wanted to do. But yeah, that didn't happen because, well, I don't need to explain to the world what COVID did. So nobody was looking to hire anyone, especially interns at the time. And I had always like an interest to pursue music in a much more like academic and like professional way. So my parents very bluntly told me, what are you going to do with your next year? Like, you don't have anything going on. And they very smartly suggested, maybe as a joke initially, but I took the joke very seriously, but they told me to kind of use the upcoming like COVID year as like a joker, that it was going to be like a very like empty year for everyone anyway. So it could be a good year to test out something. So they suggested I go full in for once into the music path, I would say, and actually like kind of understand what I wanted to do in it, understand what was happening in it. Because to be honest, I always liked like music in general, creative arts. I've always been into it, played piano, sang a bit and everything. But saying that you want to work in music and actually decide to do a career in it is very different. And also, well, everyone knows it's a big bet. So going fully into it, kind of blindsided, it always kind of a little leap to take, which my parents very gently pushed me into, which I'm 100% very much grateful. I started to do a master actually right after my bachelor's, which was my first master in like music business and popular practice in music, which was a big like overview of just the whole music industry. Learned a lot about like just what was actually happening like behind the desks of the people that were in the music business side, A&R roles, artist management. So that's where I really understood like where I thought I could fit and what I actually wanted to do. So I did this master at BIM Institute in London. And then I always said if there was one master I always needed to do in music business, if I was actually going to pursue this as a serious career, it was the one at Berklee College of Music, the Music Business and Entertainment Masters. So I went up and kind of sent a second application to a master degree right after a master degree. So even the people that interviewed me asked me, why are you doing another master after the exact same master you just did? But you know, I told them it was a little checkbox for me to do. So ended up at Berklee College of Music for the master, but their campus that's based in Spain, Valencia. So I did a little tour in Spain also. And then through this, I managed to get an internship right after Berklee that was based in Los Angeles in the creative industry, but not necessarily specifically into music. I kind of just used this as an excuse to get shipped over to LA to be able to enter, like, as cliche as it sounds, kind of like the scene of the music industry in LA, which is, well, it's kind of where a lot of things happen, I would say. So my aim was to get there. Once I'm there, I'll figure it out in everything that I should do. But so arrived there for an internship in as a creative producer intern in a creative agency that worked with like Netflix and like loads of like entertainment brands. That was very cool. Learned a lot. And then on the side, that's when my whole little journey in LA started. Let's call it a journey. I would call it a hustle, because that's pretty much what everyone does in LA. At least if you're in the creative side, it's a big hustling life, but it's fun. And so from this, I started to take up literally on every opportunities I got to do internships. I know people hate this word, but network, it's a big thing. So just meeting the like network of the music industry in LA. Funny enough, LA being so huge is so small. It's insanely, it's insane. Like, it's insane. A little scary, to be honest, because if you're out, then you're out. So don't mess it up, I want to say. But also it's convenient. Like, it's not a myth. Like, things can actually kind of like shift very quickly. I'm still waiting for my turn to shift, to be honest. But there's a, you know, it's a step-by-step journey. I've been doing a lot of different internships in like management companies, publishing as like an A&R, more as like on the management side. Started to manage my own like artist on the side. Also took up on also being a freelance writer for a media company called Sheesh Media that reviews like a lot of like emerging artists online. So anything that I could get kind of my feet in, always trying to kind of stay involved in also the side of like discovering new artists and like trying to on the side of like talent development also. That's really kind of like what I'm trying to explore the most in the industry and in the end hopefully pursue on the long term. So yeah, I'm sorry, that was a very long introduction.
That's super good. That's very interesting. The thing that you mentioned that you've been doing quite a lot of internships and in different fields of music industry, different sides of music industry. Do you feel like it helped you to discover what is your, like, I don't know, dream job? What is your perfect position? Or do you think you're still in the process of figuring it out?
It's a great question, to be honest. I think I have a very clear answer, that's for sure. Haven't found my dream job. But also that's because maybe I'm someone that's, I'd say, very versatile. I like to do a lot of stuff. I get bored very easily, which is not great. And also I feel like I'm in the stage where I want to discover as much as possible what's out there to hopefully get to that stage, like finding my dream job. Then again, I think in the music industry, once you're in a position, there's no really like any like set rules, like set, like, yeah, there's set positions, but like, it's not like a very like super structured framework as if like you were more in like the finance side or like stuff that are much more, I would say, like enclosed in more like structured codes. So even when you start to do like certain positions in a company, you end up kind of picking up on other like skills that people are have to do on the side. Like all the departments really kind of like coexist together. So I feel like, and I think that's why I really like in the end this industry also, it's because you do a lot of stuff all the time at the same time. It's super overwhelming. And at some point also you need to kind of pin down where you actually want to go. So it is actually very confusing. That's why, you know, you can bounce a lot. But I feel like once you land on it and you actually like, I think also it's a matter of finding the environment that fits you, as long as it's like finding the right company for you or finding like the right team or the right artist with who you want to pair with. And then from this kind of find the position along with them that you want to pursue with them. I think there's a lot of different projects that goes on in music. I feel like everyone can actually do a lot of different stuff in different environments.
Yeah, that's very great insight. So could you share what exactly you're doing at your current job at God Knows Music Group? Share a little bit about the company as well. Like, what's the company about and what they're doing?
Yeah, so God Knows Music Group is a label that was founded by two Israeli around like 2 years ago, and they moved to LA to build that label because one of the two CEOs, he used to be like producer and manager also, that was working a lot in Israel, that worked with a lot of like other big producers and artists back in the time. So they moved to LA to begin that structure. So currently they have four artists under their roster. It's a label that's very, I would say, very non-focused on specific genres. So we have one of our artists is very like pop, bedroom pop, very much more commercial. Another one is very much more indie, rock pop. Another one is a producer completely like EDM and more like electronic music. So there's a big vast of different talents. When working with artists, they're very focused on the talent development side of the artist. So when working with them to produce songs and creating songs, they have a very specific, like they have a very good intent of actually like meeting the artist, knowing the artist, talking with the artist, and then leading from what they learn with the artist, leading them to like their own voices rather than the label telling the artist where they should go. So it's a very, I would say, like artist forward friendly company. And yeah, so in my position, I joined, they were just starting to release like their first music, like officially. They were two years in the works of like building the music with the artist. So when I arrived, it was the start of like actually like starting to release. So I came in at the time where we were really in the moment of trying to develop the label, grow it, kind of like throw artists out there, grow the investments in the business, find opportunities to kind of, I want to say like go public, but like kind of go live with the whole company. So it involves a lot of like networking, reaching out to people to pitch the label, finding the right distribution, finding the right partners, finding also potential investors. And then on the artist side also, we also have a project of being a production house. So also scouting new artists to expand the roster on the production house side, finding artists to serve them, to set up like writing camps, because we work also with a lot of producers and writers on our side that work along our label. So also finding just independent artists that are looking to focus more on that talent development side of the label. Honestly, it's a bit of everything because it's a very small team. So it's a whole lot of building and expanding.
Wow, that's a lot. So cool.
Another thing that I wanted to talk about is, of course, the Kumo Collective. I know a little bit about it, but I would like for you to share about the collective itself and your role there, because I think it's a very special thing that you do with your partners. So yes, definitely tell us more about it.
Yeah, for sure. So the Kumo Collective is an international independent artist collective that I started back in 2021 during the middle of like the midst of my first master back in London. So it was not planned at all. And it was just a very happy development of series of events that rolled out really well when I started to actually get into music. And I was lucky enough during this journey to find those people to create this collective. So with three other friends, we created this collective during COVID time. So it was really based initially to like promote artists, build this community around artists around the world that are independent, that need like a platform to showcase their work and connect the artists with a wider audience, but also with a wider network of artists in itself across the world. So I'm insisting on the fact that we were trying to expand their network around the world, because at the time when we started to develop Kumo, I was based in London. Another one of my partners was based in Paris. Another one was in Montreal, and another one was in Tokyo. So let me tell you, to organize call, it was a big headache. But in terms of optimizing our development and like actually like creating, finding the artists around the world and stuff, it was pretty, I don't want to say easy, but it kind of grew on its own pretty organically, because we all had it also like on our side, like each our own network initially, each of our friends had friends that did art, like word to mouth went really quickly. And to be honest, when we started it, like I was very excited about it, but like I didn't think maybe like 3 years down we would still talk about it and did so much of what we did. So we are a collective that has three different sections, like in departments within it. So we feature a music section, we also feature a visual art section, but also a design fashion section, which is kind of, I think, what sets us apart from other collectives that are usually niche in one specific like medium of art. Our aim is to actually create this kind of like art powerhouse across the world with a focus of like connecting artists around the world, from like connecting a musician to another musician, but also try to expand their horizon and actually like create bigger projects of connecting a musician with maybe a photographer or something. Because I think in all respective mediums, everything has been done, everything has been seen. Today, it's about creating new experiences, new types of projects, which is what the audience is looking also. So we're very thinking artist side, but also like audience side, which is where also our biggest, I would say, like development and a side that I really love about Kumo is the event part that then we started to put together across the world. So right after when COVID started to kind of die down and then come back again and die down again, but whenever we could start to kind of do live events, we kind of jumped on the opportunities because, yes, from like as much as we can promote online, like share with the world, like artists work, there's one thing that I've learned with artists is that the biggest, I think, like service and the kind of like the best gift that you can give them is an opportunity to like showcase their work live. As much of like a musician than someone that's doing photography and being able to display their thing, as much as like a fashion designer that wants to have a little pop-up shop or kind of just showcase this live and have this connection with the audience. So we started to do events around the world with a big concept in mind of doing a flagship event that actually reunites all those mediums in one event. So having an event that will be an event that has stages for music from all kind of different artists, while at the same time having like an ongoing like visual art exhibition, while at the same time having some pop-up shops around of like emerging designers. Is as much of an experience for artists to also be able to meet people outside of their circle, as much as we're trying to curate also an experience for the audience that can kind of walk in into this event that kind of has everything at the same time. And then we also started to develop like events that are more focused either on music or visual art. So we did like exhibitions. So we did several, our biggest like flagship events, they usually happen in Paris because that's where we have like admins, first of all, because it's very hard to put up an event. So you want people to be like physically there to be able to put it together, but also in terms of community and stuff, because we're all French initially. So I would say like our biggest community was for sure also in Paris. So our last flagship event that happened in September hosted 1,000 people, around like 50 international artists that flew over that were already here and stuff like this. But then we did also other events in Brussels, also Tokyo, and did the first one in Los Angeles in November. And we have a few more lined up in the next few months. We also do like events that are in collaboration with other collectives, for example. So we're trying to expand on concepts. We're really focused on like curating different concepts that are not still out there, or at least trying to, and trying to propose something new as much as like to the artists than to like the audiences.
This is so cool. Honestly, love the concept a lot. I really think it's very special and unique that what you guys are doing. When is the next event that you're planning? When and
so
where?
We have two very upcoming. So actually one in LA on the 22nd of March. It's going to be an event focused more on like the music side that we are actually doing in collaboration with another collective based in LA that's called Alba Collective. And then we have another one in April that is going to be visual art focused actually. And we're hosting an exhibition.
In LA as well?
No, in Paris, sorry. In Paris, yeah. And then we have another one lined up also already in LA on the 18th of May. That's actually going to be an event that is hosted by Kumo to be able to put together a project that an artist called Tula. He has a project that he's been working on for a while, and we're putting his first like live event of it. So we're kind of producing the whole event for him.
And how does it work in terms of logistics? I mean, you mentioned that one of your partners is in Paris, another in LA, in Japan. So I guess those people who are like specifically in those places take more responsibilities in terms of like organizing events.
Yeah, so we are overseeing everything from each of us. Like one is in Paris, one is in Brussels, another one, and I'm in LA right now. We oversee everything together, and we are very lucky because we have a lot of people that are helping around from our network, friends, people that want to get involved, creatives that want to get involved, that are doing like very great volunteer work. And to be honest, we would never be able to operate without any of them. They are people that are just here for the experience, people that are here because they like the concept. Time difference is sometimes a pain. But then in terms of like when we operate physically, in terms of territories and stuff, of course, like I'll be more on hands on like the US base now and more North America than my partners who are based more in Europe, like overseeing this. But like we are part of all decisions altogether and running things and as much as we can, then getting on all the calls together and managing all the projects together. But we do like we have to delegate on some stuff. And again, like all of this is only possible because a lot of people are involved in the community. And that's what we were aiming to, is to like Kumo is a community first and for all, as much as it's a community for artists, but a community for like the people that are actually like involved in it and that want to try to work in the creative industry as like us that we're doing. We were just lucky enough to be able to put this together and then people to grab on the concept. But it's all because of the people around, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great concept. So I believe that a lot of people want to get involved even on the volunteering basis. So you have experience working in UK, now in US and in France, obviously. Would you say that now that you're based in US, would you say that working there in the music industry is very different from other territories? Because, I mean, obviously it's like the biggest music market. Or would you say you didn't feel like a big switch when you went there and started living there and working there?
I mean, to be honest, I've been actively working only since I've been in the US, I would say. I studied in the UK. I'm working in France, yes, through the collective with like some French, but like I think I wouldn't be able to compare all the environments between three in terms of like specifically like actively working in like labels or stuff like this. For sure, there are differences, especially between, I would say, like the US and France specifically, because the UK, there's not that language barrier, and the UK is also like the second biggest market of the music industry. They overlap a lot with the US and work actually a lot together too. But it's true, like the US is the dominant one, especially being in LA, like it's kind of being at the center of the center, or at least that's what we like to think in LA. There's also New York for sure, but bouncing between those two, like it's true that like in terms of artists popping off or just even like on the business side, like the people that are there are very big people. But there is, I think, the same situation in France, but the only difference is that there is this language barrier, as much as like today the world is like very open, globalized, things like move from one territory to another. In terms of music, to be honest, and again, I'm speaking very much from my like personal experience and my own like take from it, I feel like France is, it's an international market for sure, but it is very much more closed up than like, for example, the UK and stuff like this, because I feel like the French audience also are a much more specific audience in terms of what they listen to. They have much more like specific genres than that they're going to listen to than like the US. Maybe less like poppy commercial US like that we hear usually. But there is a lot of movement. There are a lot more companies actually that are starting to do some like international relations in terms of like for example, like I actually noticed I got in contact with this French label that just moved to LA, and they were looking for like kind of a coordinate like their French artists that would come over to LA to start to expand their own audience in LA. So I think like they're starting to really understand like the benefits of starting up in France and be able to like connect with the US and grow their own market through this. I think it's still a little slow. I think also there's not that much, like they're not in that much of a rush because the audience back in France is very responsive to the French market. So it's also like, it's another side of what maybe they want to do. But there are a lot of moves currently in France expanding more. I think they're getting a bit more up to speed on everything.
That's good to know. And if we talk on the opposite, like if we talk about like, I don't know, UK, US, any artist trying to break into French music industry, would you say there are like some specifics to the market that they should be aware of to kind of make their campaigns more successful?
I mean, definitely, like, there is this, like, cultural barrier between, like, the US and, like, France. Like, French, they have a very, like, I would say, like, they have their own identity. They're very, like, branded into themselves, I want to say. Then it depends if you're talking about, like, an artist that's already well-established in the US or if it's, like, an emerging artist also, like, it's very different. For sure, like, an American artist that goes to France that already has some, like, clout in the US, I think will be able to also make some way into France by the fact that, like, I've kind of always said this, like, if you make it in the US, you can move overseas rather than, like, you can be very big in France. If you come to the US, if you don't have, like, a contact to go into that market or, like, something specific that made you enter that market, I think it's going to be a lot more harder for you to actually get to the same point that you were back in France. I'm not saying you won't be anything, but for sure, I think there's this difference in level of you coming all the way to France and France coming all the way to the US.
Yeah, I think I will agree. I think it will be true to probably every market. If you have some name in US or UK already, it will be much easier to break in any territory than vice versa. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your music experience with us. The next question I would like to ask is, what would you say are your life highlights?
Whoa, very big questions. My life highlights, well, on the top of my head, my life highlights, to be honest, it would probably be like just me moving around so much at like such a young age, being, I would say, like, in this fun environment of being like in music and stuff. I think I'm for sure super lucky, like growing up in Paris, then to London, then I forgot to mention, but I spent a few months like from study abroad, like in Australia. So all the way to Australia to come back to London to then go to Spain and then arrive in LA. All of this with being able to work alongside like this community of artists growing around the world and stuff. Like for sure, I've had like an exposure that I think not even a quarter of people have the chance to have around the world. So I'm super grateful for this. Like, yeah, the highlights is for sure like that, just the amount of people that I meet in terms of artists or not artists, or just like, it's really, I think, enriching in terms of like me understanding like what I actually like or what I actually want to do. It gives me so much ideas, bouncing from ideas of other people around. So yeah, and word traveling, maybe. My life highlights. I love to travel. I love to, like I said earlier, I get bored quickly. I like a fast pace of life for now. And I'm getting a little tired, so maybe it's time to.
Nice. And what would you say is your personal definition of success?
Well, if I knew, maybe I'd be succeeding right now. But not honestly, when I feel like some kind of like rewarding success is really when I'm doing a project that I can live through. And when I'm saying this is like in terms of like when we're putting up an event, for example, is have the chance to create all of this A to Z with like our own ideas, being able to lead everything and then actually being able to live the project. I think that's something that's very like unique. And that's what I found in like working with alongside with like artists and stuff like this. I get very invested in like artist work, which is not mine at all. I love to, like, I feel like I'm part of like their project with them. I feel like I'm part of like their journey. And like even artists, for example, like I just discover I don't even work with them, blah, blah, blah. But then I refer them to some friends. And like a lot of artists, I was like, oh, here this guy, like he's going to be big, blah, blah, blah. And then like 3 years later, he was huge. And people were like, oh, have you heard this? But I get so much pride from being like, I knew this guy before anyone. Like, I feel like a lot of pride for him, even though like the guy doesn't like, there's no link to me or him. Like, could be like the biggest guy today. Like, but I will feel like a little part of me, like just from my instinct, would be rewarded by the fact that like I kind of sensed it. So yeah, just like little dumb things. But like, I think success doesn't have to be like you achieving your dream job, or I think success is kind of part of like the journey of like being able to get those little things and be so happy about it and be so excited that you get to then more things behind that can be still like very small, but it's kind of, I like to have, I'd rather have a lot of little successes and get like a little, like, oh, I'm happy like every day about this, rather than like having one big day where I'm like, oh, okay, I've finally succeeded in this. This is finally achieved. I'm way much more entertained by little successes than the big end. Because what happens? Like, once you succeed, then what? And I don't want to get to this part because I'm already so what?
I love this concept of having little successes. I love it, really.
It goes well hand in hand with, you know, fake it until you make it in the music industry. So you have to content yourself with little successes because, I mean, except if you're like that one in a trillion people, usually you have to be like, yes, little success is a great success.
Love it, love it. Do you have any book, movie, and song recommendations to our listeners?
I have one that I discovered actually through an ex-boss of mine that I met in LA through an internship. And he recommended me to watch this. It's a documentary actually, but not like a boring documentary. It's like a very good documentary. For people that are like in the music industry, I mean, no, honestly, it's a great documentary for everyone. It resonated with me a lot because it's called Supermensch. So it's about the legend of like Shep Gordon, which is like the like one of the most iconic talent manager back in the days in Hollywood that just kind of became an artist manager without knowing it. And like just by like meeting like people like Alice Cooper, Blondie, Teddy, Pettengrass, like Pink Floyd, like those were all of his clients, but they were just friends initially. He apparently started to become their like. You need to watch the documentary. It's a very fun documentary, and you'll just be like, you'll understand exactly what LA is, and understand that like it is a cliche, but it's actually not a cliche because it's very true, and it's just like the story is insane, I think, and it's very like it shows. When I saw it, like I called my mom and I was like, you need to watch this. Because like you'll understand, like, because nobody knows what a manager does. Like, even a manager, we don't really know what you're like. Who are you to be a manager of someone's life, you know? But when you see this, it really gives you a sense of understanding like what people get out of being like someone's manager. It's like, it shows like the connection between like the artist and what I was talking about before, like you getting that sense of like success when the artist's success, even though like they're on the magazine, they're the one on tour, like they're the one, but you're part of the story, like it's it. So yeah, Supermensch, I would recommend a lot.
Thank you. Seeing how the dreams of artists that you're working with coming true definitely is very inspiring. Who would you say is your celebrity crush?
Oof, tough question. If you haven't picked up on it yet, I'm very bad at making choices too. So I'm very indecisive. Not indecisive in love, actually. I know what I don't like and stuff, but pinpointing like one celebrity crush, it's a little hard. But top of my head, I would say I was just watching like the award show thingy that was on Netflix. Jeremy Allen, I love this guy. Margot Robbie also. I know everyone says Margot Robbie, but I mean, she's Margot Robbie. She's really cool. She's Barbie in real life, literally.
Definitely. And the last question that I like to wrap up the conversation with is, who inspires you the most?
Honestly, I'm inspired by all the people that are like in this industry, like just creative industries in general, that went in it and that stayed in it and that actually managed to like do something out of it. I admire the people that like hustled all the way to like make something out of it, because it is, and I'm someone that's very determined and stuff. Like you have to have six shoulders on you to be able to really take up on everything. Not as in like even the workload. Like, yes, I know like a lot of people like it's a very like there's different ways of working and stuff, obviously. So, and it is 100% super fun. Like it's not like being, I mean, some part of the job, you're always behind the desk and stuff. But I would say, like, in terms of, like, mental weight, sometimes it's, like I said, like, it's hard to really, to know where you're really going for a long time, I think. Like, and I'm brand new to the industry and I already feel like it's been, like, 20 years that I've been, like, searching and just, like, I'm not really sure what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. Like, and you're always doing a lot, but you're not doing, like, it's a little blurry, you know? So, honestly, just anyone that's in this and that manages to stick with it and that is like kind of like true to himself and stick with like not losing sight of why they went into it and actually managed to pursue this all the way. That's for sure someone I admire. And I'm not saying any specific names because there are a lot in terms of as much of like, yes, big names. There are a lot of big names in the music industry that you can like cite and stuff like this. But I think also like the people that can't be like forgotten are also all the people that are starting that we don't even know yet. Those are the people that are really hustling right now from like the artist side, like all artists that are trying to make it. Those are people that you need to admire because yes, they're making music. It's fun. It looks fun from the outside. It is terribly hard. It is so hard because the amount of people on streaming platform, like it is hard. There are like 10 billion people with the same talent as you. Honestly, like being able to like differentiate yourself with just your talent today is so hard. And being able to do this and to stick with it and to actually like go through all of it and not lose sight of this is something that asks a lot of willpower, something that asks a lot of, I think, good surroundings also is very important.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. It was great to get to know your story better. And definitely everybody who's listening to the podcast are invited to the next Kumo Collective events.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing all of this community.
Thank you, Emma. It was very fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening and supporting my podcast. Have you ever thought of starting your podcast as well? It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. With its help, you can start recording a high-quality podcast right away, including the video. You won't need a lot of tools or services anymore. Zencastr is all-in-one podcasting platform. You can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to all the platforms. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code CreativeMinds and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.